So we're beginning a new parak now.
Where?
Beginning a new parak on Kuf Amud Bey.
Kuf Amud Bey.
Kuf Amud Bey, beginning the 12th parak of Menachos. Most of this parak is going to be about various dinim involving Nedarim and Nedavos of Menachos. But first, we have one Mishnah and the Gemara on it that talk about the dinim of being poida kachin.
Yeah. Well, the
which relates to Menachos because there are different rules for those than for Bey.
Why we didn't learn that it's Zvachim?
Because, I mean, we talked about Pidyon of Korbanos and Zvachim, but briefly, but here we're going to mention that, well, let's start, and we'll see. Menachos and Nesachim should nikmu actually kodshubakli. The Mishnah starts off, Menachos and Nesachim, meaning the Nesachim meaning the wine, etc., that became Tomei before they were placed in a Kli Sharis. So before they're placed in a Kli Sharis, they don't have Kedusha, they don't have Kedusha Saguf, they only have Kedusha Domim. Therefore, if they became Tomei before that, yesh lahem pidyon, you're able to be poured to them still because at that point they only have Kedushas Dam. Mishakidshu b'kli ein lahem pidyon. So you can be poured to them before they're Kaddish b'kli. Mishakidshu b'kli ein lahem pidyon. But once they were Kaddish in a Kli Sharis, then there's no pidyon for them. Because basically what it is the pasuk net, where do we have the concept of being poja kodshin in the first place? So we have in Parashat Book of Kosai, the last perek, talks about a number of dinim involving tektish, including the concept of being poja. And the expression over there is the hemid is a behemel of ne'akoyin, the herich is a koyin, that the person stands up the animal in front of the koyin, and the koyin evaluates the value of it, and the person pays that amount, plus a choymish if it's his own, and then you poja. So the whole concept of being poida can only apply to things that are able to be stood up, hamod of arocha is called, that are able to be stood up and evaluated in front of the kohen. So therefore, not menachos and nesachim, because those things are not, they're not animate, they're dovashen beruachayim, they're not animate things, they can't be stood up in front of the kohen. They're inanimate.
This from what you can be poida, what do you do with it? If it's summer, what do you do with it?
So therefore, if that's the thing, you have to burn them, yeah, once they
you
change.
You have to burn them.
Yeah, you have to burn them, yeah. Okay. Also continues the Mishnah, ha'oifis v'ha'etzim v'alavoyno klesharis, Mishnah Nikmu, birds that were meant to be brought for korbanos, or wood that was being brought as an adava to the Beis Hamikdash, like a korban etzim, v'alavoyno, or lavoyno that was being brought as a separate korban, or klesharis, or the klesharis themselves, shenitmu, if they became tamei, ein lahen pidyon, there's no being poed of them either, because again, shalenem a pidyon elab a behema, because the whole concept of pidyon only applies to a behema that has a mum, as we'll see in the Gemara.
What point is there a break off for the behema itself?
So the behema itself, once you designate it as a korban, it has to do as a guf. But if afterwards it develops a mum, then the Torah tells us, as we'll see, as we'll go through the Gemara, we'll see that there are psukim that tell us that you're able to be poed of it. You have a hamod of harofa, you stand it up in front of the koyin evaluates the value of it, and you pay that amount to hektish.
A bird can stand.
A bird can stand, but it can also fly away. So therefore, it can't be considered a hamod of harofa. So therefore, it can't be considered that it can be, because it can fly away. Right?
So what can he do with the gavel? You poison it, he tells
nothing. So again, in the case of the birds, now by the way, when we talk about birds, obviously we're not talking about them becoming tamei, because what living creatures can't become tamei. What we mean in the case of ophis, it would mean that they became possible in some other way.
Behemoth cannot.
No, ophis also, the live birds are not able to live animals or birds are not able to become kabal toma. So in the case of birds, we don't mean that they became tamei, we mean that they became possible in some other way. In the case of eitzim, lavona, and plesharis, it means straightforward, they became tamei. So we're saying you can't be poed to them because of that they have Kedushas Aguf already, and the concept of being poed to something that has Kedushas Aguf applies only to animals. Tosfos points out, if the bird had a mum before you were makdish it, then you could in fact be poed to it. So this that we're saying, and then this that we're saying, bird not, is only if the mum developed after you were makdish them. So again, what could you do with them? Nothing. I mean, it means you can't be poured to them. So in the case of the bird, it can't be brought as a korban. That's it. I mean, if it was a chatos oif, it could be it's one of the chatos amesis. I don't know. If it's for an oila, again, can't be brought. There's nothing you can do with it. You can't offer it as a korban, but you can't be poured to it. I don't know. I don't think you would let it fly away. What? No, mum means outside. If it's inside, then it's a treta. That's a different thing.
The bird just can't fly.
What?
The birds just cannot fly.
No, that's not the point. The point is, when the Torah mentions this concept of pidyon only by animals, so basically, therefore, it's very sarcastic. So one way of looking at it is, yeah, because birds can fly, therefore, birds that are brought for korbanos, again, if they're mechus, they're eva, then you can't bring them as a korban in the first place, if they're missing a wing or whatever. Chickens are not birds that you can bring as korbanos. The only birds you can bring as korbanos are doves and turtle doves. So, right. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara starts off. Omar Shmuel, but afilu hen tahorin nifti. This that we're saying in the Mishnah about menachas and nesachim, that if they became tomei before they were kaddish b'kli, then you can be part of them. Shmuel says you don't even have to wait for them being tomei. Even if they're tahor, you're able to be part of them. My timer, why would that be? Because he says tama b'lekadshi b'kli, kedushas damim, you know, because as long as they haven't been placed in a kli shoreis and gotten their kedushas agul, they only have kedushas damim, and anything with kedushas damim, you can be part of. Kedushas damim niskin, so that's the thing. Kedushas damim, you're able to be part of, even if it was an animal, even if it was
before
kedushas agul, right? So the question is, what do you mean? Our Mishnah said, hamnachas banasachim shenitmu, so what are you telling me even if they're not tummy? The answer is, Shmuel will tell you, no, the mission doesn't mean only if they became Tomei can you purge these menachas and nesachim. Even if they're not. However, the next thing in the Mishnah, it wants to say that if they were placed in a free shoreis and got kedushas agul, then they, you can't be part of them, and that means, and that would mean even if they became Tomei, there's no being part of them. Therefore, Tonanami Reisha should nitmu actually kosher the Kli. So for parallelism, it mentions in the Reisha also that they're nitmu, because in the second case, what are we talking about? Mishakid Shubha Kli. Yeah, when we say Mishakid Shubha Kli Ein Lahem Kidyon, we're talking about, in other words, even they became Tomei, and you would think, look, they're Tomei, as the Gemara is going to discuss in a second. You would think, look, they became Tomei, they obviously can't be used for a carbon, therefore you might as well be part of them, and the Mishnah is informing us that not. So therefore, the first part of the Mishnah also mentions Shinitmu, even though Shmuel is saying it doesn't strictly have to, speaking have to be Shinitmu. Even if they weren't Tomei, you're able to be part of them because they're not just because they're not just like
birds. Birds then become Tomei.
Now I said forget birds. We're saying Hamanachas and Nesachim. We're talking about within Menachas and Nesachim themselves. We're making a distinction between before they're in a Kli and after they're in a Kli. The point is, after they're in a Kli, why would you be part of them? The pasht is because they're Tomei, because you can't use them for a carbon anymore. And even then, you can't, because even though they're Tomei, you can't be part of them. You can't once they're Kli. So therefore, Shmuel is saying. So the first part of the Mishnah mentions Shinikmu, it doesn't mean that the time when you can be part of them before they got Kedushas Aguf, before they were placed in a Kli, is only if they became Tomei. No, you could be part of them for any reason that you wanted.
Saying that because
Tumah is the... saying Tumah because with a case where you would want to be part of them after they were in a Kli, they would be where they became Tomei. Okay. So the question in that case is, if you're understanding it that way, Pshita, Kedushas Aguf Ninu. Well, obviously you could be part of them. Obviously you could be part of them before they're in a Kli. That you can't be part of them after they're in a Kli. Kedushas Aguf Ninu. Obviously at that point they have Kedushas Aguf. Why would you think you could be part of them? We know that you can't be part of things that have Kedushas Aguf unless the Torah tells you. And the Torah only mentions this concept by animals, not by menachas and nesachim. So forget the birds and the asim and the levina; those we'll deal with later. But menachas and nesachim we're talking about, you have no reason to think you could be part of them. So obviously, after they're in a kli shoreis, after they have kedushas agul. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? What would be the chiddush to tell us, even if they became tomei, you can't be part of them? What would you think otherwise? The answer is it's just still we need it. Because otherwise you would think, maybe you could. Hoyul balmum ikri tomei. Since an animal that's a balmum is called tomei in the pasuk, as we will see soon, on kofal upon aleph, we'll get there. Tomei nami kabalmum gami. Then we would think, therefore, a food menachas or nesachim that became tomei maybe is considered like the equivalent of a balmum, and therefore we would say the apagab de kodesh gushtaguf. So even if it has gushtaguf. And we see that an animal, even though it has kedushas agul, because you designated this animal a carbon, and now it has kedushas agul. And nevertheless, if it develops a mum, you have mifrik, you're able to record it. Hani nami lifrik, you would think maybe the same thing also applies to food, to menachas in the sachem that became tomei. Kamash malon, therefore the Mishnah wants to tell us that you can't, because you have to understand, the Mishnah is saying, delav tihai tomei kari rachman al-bal mum. When the Torah calls a balmum tomei, it doesn't mean that kind of tomei. It doesn't mean that kind of, it means balmum, but the fact that the Torah uses the word tomei is not meant to compare it to food that became tomei. Because the rule is...
Why does it say tomei?
It says tomei, because we're going to, it's an expression, but we're going to see it soon. You all have behemoth tomeis, meaning that they're not tomei, as in you touch them, you become tomei. They're behemoth tomeis, as in you can't eat them. Yes. So, right. That because miklei shoreis like ashkechon demifrit. We never find anything that was kaddish in a kli shoreis that you can be poided afterwards. A behemah is different. A behemah is not placed in a kli shoreis. But even there, after you shechted it, you also can't be poided. If you were to shech the animal, the korban, and then decide you want to, and then let's say it became tomei or whatever, and you want to, for whatever reason, you want to be poyged, it's too late. Again, because there's no hamad or v'halacha. You can't stand it up in front of the kohen anymore and then have him evaluate it. So therefore, the whole concept doesn't apply. That's what the Mishnah wants to inform us. Don't think that tomei and balmum, that tomei food and balmum animal are on the same level. Nope. The rule, the general rule still applies. Once something is in a klisharet, it has to be shtagulf. You can't be poyged. Okay.
Otherwise, you would have
thought. Okay, so balmum hecha ikr tomei. Okay, where do we find an animal that's a balmum that's called tomei? So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a braisa. You have a pasuk in that perek in Bechukotai that says the im kol behema tmeya asher la yakrib mena korban l'Hashem. If a person is makdish any behema tmeya from which a korban cannot be brought to Hashem, then the pasuk continues behema disa behema beherach hakoyin. But then you have to do this hamod b'haracha. You stand it up in front of the koyin and he evaluates it. So what is this behema tmeya? It doesn't mean, as we would think, if we just learned simple pshat, we would think behemoth man, like a horse or a camel or what have you. That's not what it means. The balim mumin shenifkin akosta medamber. The pasuk is talking about an animal, a kosher animal, an animal that could have been brought for a korban, like a cow or a sheep or a goat, that developed a mum. Yeah, akosta medamber, that's what the pasuk is talking about, that you stand it up in the front of the koyan and yeah. No, when it's alive. And amada means after it when it's alive. Okay, so you hold it up with stilts. Whatever. The point is, it's basically able to stand. Besides, you know what you're mentioning? It's missing a foot. You know what? No. Fine. But first of all, a balmum can be many different mumim, as we'll discuss later. But you know what? There are gemaras actually. There's a gemara someplace else in Shabbos, I think, that discusses in connection with Tokhav Tumah that an animal, in principle, can stand on three legs. Even larger animals, are able to stand on three legs, at least for a short period of time. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Can you
could toybel it, but here we're talking about if you weren't going to toybel. Yeah, well, clay shardas can't be made out of cheres anyway. We had a machloekas earlier in the Masechta, what clay shardas can be made out of. We had the Chachamim saying they have to be made out of metal. We had Rabbi Yosi Yehuda saying they can be made out of wood or bone as well, but everybody agrees that clay shardas is too degrading, yeah, it's too low class thing. Okay. So after Omer Balin Mumin Shiyipadu, now you're saying that this word behemoth meya means Balin Mumin, and the Torah is telling you you can be part of them. Maybe it means an actual behemoth meya, a horse or a camel or a donkey, Rashi says. No, true omer v'imba behema tmeo podaber kafa. Later on in that parak, you have another pasuk that says, if among the behema tmeos, then the person was makdish it, then he can redeem it at its value. The hare behema tmeo amora. So that's talking about an actual behema tmeo. Ha mani makayin v'imko behema tmeo. So the earlier pasuk that says v'imko behema tmeo, there's no repetition in the Torah, so therefore it has to be teaching us something else. Therefore, bali mumin she podaber akasa medaber. Therefore, we can see from that the pasuk is talking about bali mumin, that they're able to be redeemed. And the pasuk is calling them tmeya in the sense that they're tamei, that they can't be offered on the mizbeach.
What does it say? The first behemoth?
The first, you have the imba behemoth, the imko behemoth tmeya is pasuk yud aleph of that perek, and the imba behemoth tmeya or podaber kafa is pasuk chof zayin of that perek. In Parshas Bechukotai, perek chof zayin. So the last perek, the last perek of Vayikra. But therefore, so we see from that, so the later pasuk is referring to actual non-kosher animals, and the earlier one is talking about kosher animals that develop the mum. One explanation how we know it's not the other way around, I think Tosfos talks about elsewhere, is when one reason we know it's not the other way around is since the first pasuk makes a point of saying, Asher la yakrivim men of korban l'Hashem, so obviously it's not talking about horses and camels, and no chiddush that you can't bring korbanos from them. The chiddush is that this is an animal, the species of it is mutter to bring as a korban, however, this particular one can't because it developed a mum. Okay. Continues the braisa, yoho yupadu al mum oiver, you would think maybe even if an animal develops a temporary mum, maybe already you could be part of it. No, Talmud Loima, therefore the pasuk continues, Asher la yakrivim men a korban l'Hashem. That you can't bring a korban from it to Hashem. Implying that it only applies, Misha ena krev l'Hashem kol ikr. So it only applies to the type of animal, meaning one that has a mum, where you're never going to be able to be makir of it to Hashem at all. Yos tazua, as opposed to one that has a temporary mum, Misha ena krev ayem, krev l'mocha. You can't offer it now because it has a mum, but eventually it'll heal from the mum, and then you can be makir of it. So that's not included. You can't be part of that.
You've lost the weight,
Yeah, wait, yeah.
even if the government hasn't brought it that day or the next day?
Well, you bring a different animal to carbon and you bring this one some other time. I mean, yes. Obviously, you know, if it ages out of the type of carbon, that's a different matter. Then eventually what you'll do is you'll sell it and use the money from it for another carbon because you have no choice. You'll wait till it develops a moon, you'll let it graze till it develops a moon, et cetera. But yeah, other than that, the usual rule is that smimim, you're not allowed to be part of it. And we had earlier in our Masechta, we had something about lay based in Masna Alehem, that you have the example over there with animals for the Korban Talmud that are left over at the end of the year that have to be rebought with this year's money, where we set a coin to the Chachamim over there. You can do that because lay based in Masna Alehem, based in the Hachila, only had in mind that the ones that are needed for this year's Smidim are going to become Kaddish, et cetera. But generally the rule is that an animal that's Talmud, you can't be Kaddish. Anyway, the point is that there we see from that Braisa that there we have a pasuk that calls an animal a Bal Mum a Tame. So that's what we were saying before. We would think that Menachas and Nesachim that are Tame are on the same level. That's why our Mishnah had to stress that Menachas and Nesachim, once they're in a Kli Sharet, they have Kedush Zaguf. And unlike an animal, which you can be poed even after it has Kedush Zaguf, Menachas and Nesachim you can't. The only thing you wouldn't be allowed to. You have to wait till the Mum goes away, and then you're
not.
But you could put an animal in a kishoret.
Well, no, because an animal doesn't get a kedushas haguf by being placed in a kishoret. An animal gets a kedushas haguf by you saying, this animal I'm bringing as a korban. The menachas and nesachim, they get kedushas damim when you say I'm going to bring this flower for a mincha, for example, but they only get kedushas haguf when you place them in the kishoret that they're supposed to be in. Or we discussed, with menachas and nesachim, yeah, we discussed before, do they become kaddish when you put them in the measuring cup or when you put them later on in the bista, which is the kishoret that you mix them in, say, or whatever. Because they have to be placed in a keli. An animal is not placed in a keli to be makarit. And as a matter, actually, there's an interesting thing. I think that Ashash points out, when you get down to it, an animal and a mincha have a certain similarity in that both of them do involve a keli. An animal, you have to shech with a knife. A mincha, you have to put in a kishoret in order to be makarit. A bird, you have no involvement of a keli at all. The kohen does malika with his fingernail. He squeezes out the blood onto the mizbeach holding the bird in his hand, etc. There's no keli involved at all.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the idea is, in other words, the birds don't get their kedusha from a keli. An animal, to a certain extent, you could say it gets its ultimate level of kedusha when it's actually shechted. I mean, it has kedusha before that, but it really reaches its stage of being a korban when a keli is used on it. And a mincha also, when it's placed. No, because malika is not a keli, it's a cone finger. All right, let's go on. Okay.
So a bird acquires its kedusha once it's designated as a korban?
No, well, yeah, once it's dead, right, exactly. Right. And an animal also. The difference is that, again, an animal you can be koyed and a bird you can't. Okay. So, Moisiv Rav Huna Bar Manoach. Okay, so Rav Huna Bar Manoach says, I have a contradiction to you, Shmuel. You're telling me then that, again, Shmuel said at the beginning that the menachas and the nesachim, you're able to be poured to them before they went into a kli sharet, even if they didn't become tamei, unlike the obvious wording of our Mishnah that only a shenitmu are you able to be poured to them. But a braisa says, ha'oifis va'esim va'alavonu kli sharet shenitmu, or actually it's not a braisa, it's a continuation of our Mishnah. The continuation of our Mishnah. Ha'oifis va'esim va'alavonu kli sharet shenitmu. We said that birds or wood for the mizbeach, or lavoina, or clay sharis, shenitmu, where they became tamei, ein lahem pidyon. We said you can't eat part of them, shaloin them a pidyon, elab a behemah, because the concept of pidyon, when something has, so this is a goof, only applies to animals. So, Rav Huna Bar Manoach says, let's consider that. Vishlema ofer, I can understand why birds you can't be poed, because as soon as you amakish them, kedushas haguf nehu, they immediately have kedushas haguf. Again, they don't need kedushas kli. The Rashi says they don't need kedushas kli, and that's what the Rashash comes in and points out, that unlike animals that do need a keli ultimately to shech them, birds don't need a keli at any stage of their of being makish or being makir them. And therefore, so, and v'lo nema ela b'behema, and fine, the concept of pidyon, it says only in connection with an animal, because it says it only in the connection with behema smeya asher le'echir b'memema, so there's a cost of it only applies to behema, and also you have the hamad of aracha business, and birds it doesn't really apply to, because they can fly. Ela, eisim, olavonu, klei sharet, lifriku, but, says Rav Huna Bar Manoach, why should we say now wood that's brought for the mizbeach and lavoina and the clay sharets themselves, they don't go into another clay sharets. They don't have kedushas aguf of their own. They're machshirei korban. They're things that make it possible to bring a korban. So why shouldn't you be able to be part of them? Ella Lav Mishum Tahodan Ba'alma Ein Niftin. Obviously, the reason must be because Asim and Lavoina are not able to become, are in general not able to become Tame because they're not food. And therefore Ein Niftin, so therefore you can't be part of them because the only way to be part of them would be if they became Tame. And Asim and Lavoina are not able to become Tame.
Because
they're not food. Now, by the way, now the Gemara is going to point out in a second, there is a concept called Chibas HaKodesh, which is that when you have something that when you have certain things of Karbonus, certain things like Asim and Lavoina, even though they themselves are not food, to a certain extent we consider them to be food as far as the Dinim of Tum of Tara. So we're going to get to that in a second. But right now the Gemara is assuming that they can't become Tomei. Well, so that's okay. So we actually learned earlier in the Masechta, we had the whole discussion of Rebbe and the Chachamim. When a person brings Eitzim, is it considered like a full-fledged korban? We had over there a Rebbe said that you actually take a koimet from it, and you have to salt it, and you have to treat it like every other korban. Whereas we had the Chachamim over there said that not really. I mean, you put it on the Mizbeach, but it's only machshire korban. It's not the korban itself.
What do you need salt on it?
Because if you say that it's like a korban, every korban needs salt. I call korban chatakruv melach. If you say that it's an actual full-fledged korban or something, there's actually when we learned that Gemara on Daf Sof or so, we talked about there's a sticha where the Rebbe analyzes in detail the whole issue whether wood is actually considered a korban of its own or not. Anyway, we had a machlokes panurim about it. Anyway, the point is
the halacha,
if I remember correctly, is that it is actually considered a korban of its own. I'm not sure about that, but I think so. All right, anyway. But over here, the Gemara is assuming that Eitzim and Lavoina are not able to become Tomei, so therefore the vote is, why are you not able to be part of them? Not because they have Kedushas Aguf, they don't, they never have to be placed in the Klish Shoreis to be put on the Mizbeach. The reason is because as long as they're not Tomei, you can't be part of them. Well then, in that case, Vahani Nami. So then in that case, that should apply to the Menachas and the Nesachim as well. We should argue that even if they became Tomei, let's go back a little bit. Again, the question is, why shouldn't you be able to be part of the Eitzim, Lavoina, and Klei Shardas? Lachora, those don't have to be like, so, El Olav, the reason why Menachas and Nesachim, why you can't be part of them, Mishum the Tahor and the Alma ain't missing, because things that are Tahor, you can't be part of them. So when could you code to the Menachos and Nesachim? No, not that they stay Tahor. Menachos and Nesachim are capable of becoming Tomei. No, forget. We're not, that was my mistake. We're not talking about the Lavoina and Eitzim yet. We're talking about the Menachos and the Nesachim. Rav Huna bar Menoyach says like this, that when it comes to Menachos and Nesachim, why can't you be, apparently, the idea is, no, as long as they're Tahor, you can't be part of them. Not like Shmuel is saying that you can be part of them as long as they're Tahor, even if they're Tahor, as long as they're not in the Klishare. No, it would seem from this discussion that as long as the Menachos and the Nesachim are Tahor, you cannot be part of them. Why would that be? Vahani Nami, because we would say like this. When it comes to the Eitzim and Lavoina also, Afagav de Nismu, even though they're able to become Tomei on the grounds of Chibas HaKodesh, Kitahorim Domu, nevertheless, for this purpose, we should consider them to be Tahor. The Eitzim and Lavoina, Lav Nei Ashivuya Oichlaninu, because wood and Lavoina are not something that are essentially edible, they're not something that should really be Makabal Truma, El Chibas HaKodesh Mashvul Hu Oichla. Rather, what makes them able to be Mekabel Truma is this concept of Chibas HaKodesh, the concept that because there's something that are used for the Korbanos, therefore they have a certain importance, and therefore in that sense they're considered like food. So when would we apply that? So we would argue like this. The Eitzim, Kamadalei Meshafi, Lahu Legzirin, Lemeskashi. We would argue them like this. Wood, when does Chibas HaKodesh start applying to the wood, would only be after you carve them out or shape them into the gzirin, into the proper size pieces of wood that are supposed to go on the mizbeach. We learned back in Zvachim that you have a certain size pieces of wood. They're an amma by an amma and a certain thickness that went on the mizbeach as part of the wood pile on the mizbeach. So until you actually carve them into that size and that shape, cut them into that size and that shape. Chivas HaKodesh wouldn't apply to them. And Lavona Nami, Kamadala Kishra B'Kli Shoris, Lainis Kashra. And Lavona, as long as you don't put it in a Kli Shoris, it doesn't have, it's not kosher to be put on the Mizeach.
Before you
put it in a Kli Shoris. Yeah. And Klei Shoris Nami, and as far as the Klei Shoris themselves, Hoyo V'Islu Tarab Mitzvah, since, as we said before, you are able to put them in a Mitzvah and make them Tahar, therefore that would be a reason why you can't be put to them. So in other words, what we would say, Rav Huna Bar Manayach is arguing, anything that either can't become Tomei yet, or anything that either can't become Tomei yet, or still is Tahar, apparently you can't be Tahar. So that would explain why our Mishnah says Eitzim and Lavona and Klei Shoris, even though they became Tomei, you can't be Tahar to them, because Eitzim, you had an earlier stage where they're not able to become Tomei, and even after they reach the stage of being able to become Tomei, it's only because of Chibat HaKodesh. Lavona is a similar idea. There's a point before you put them in a Klei Shoris where they're not edible b'chlal, they're not Makabal Truma, and even after you put them in a Klei Shoris, the only reason they're Makabal Truma is because of the special idea of Chibat HaKodesh. So again, for our purposes, we should consider that they're not really Tomei at all. And
the determinant
should be whether it's Tomei or whether it's Tomei. No, whether it's Tomei or not. So therefore, Rav Huna Bar Manayach is saying, based on the way our Mishnah is saying, that Oifus, Eisim, Lavona, and Klei Shoris, once they're Tomei, Ein Lahem Kidyon, why would that be the Ein Lahem Kidyon? What would be the logic? Even though none of them have Grishas HaGuf. The answer, the reason must be because either they're not able to become Tomei because they're not food, or because once they become Tomei, like Klei Shoris, you can make them Tahar again, you can put them in a mitzvah. Therefore, by the same logic, we should argue, Menachas in Nesachim, when can you be part of them before they're in a Klei Shoris? Only if they became Tomei. If they didn't become Tomei, they should be like the Eitzim and Lavona and so forth, which even though those never get to the Shlaguf, you still are not able to be part of them because they don't essentially become Tomei. Yeah. Okay. Now Rashi, by the way, learns over here that this that was saying they're not metabol truma at all means on an absolute sense, meaning zaraisa or jirabonon, they're not metabol truma. Chibas HaKodesh makes it that if they became Tomei, you're not allowed to bring them as Korbanos, but they don't actually become Tomei as far as the Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. Tosfos learns that actually what it means Midrabanan, they would become Tomei, but still, we're talking over here on Daraisa level, so therefore it would still mean that they're essentially not Tomei. And therefore you shouldn't be able, and therefore again, Rav Huna Bar Manayach is saying that the argument is, apparently the idea is anything that can't become Tomei, you can't be Poydeh. That means, in other words, anything that is still Tahar, you can't be Poydeh. Why should you be able to be Poydeh to the Menachas and the Sachem when they're Tahar? So not like Shmuel, it seems.
Just the opposite.
What do you mean? Yeah, only when they become Tomei. Only when they become Tomei. No, well, that's the point. In other words, once the Lavona is placed in a Klei Shoris, then we would say, okay, it's placed in a Klei Shoris. Now it has Kedusha Zaguf. So fine, that's different. But the Mishnah didn't say once they're placed in a Klei Shoris. It said one Mishnikmu, even if they become Tomei, and even though, for example, wood is never placed in a Klei Shoris, and the Klei Shoris itself is never placed in another Klei Shoris. And still, and they're only Machshire Korban, they're not the Korban itself. Well, that's the thing. We're saying Chibas HaKodesh, again, Tosfos understands Chibas HaKodesh can mean that at least on a Doraisa level, on a Dora bottom level, they can become Tomei. If they touch something that became Tomei. But not Doraisa. Tosfos also mentions the idea, by the way, that the idea would be, why is it that only once the wood is shaped into the shape for the Maracha, only then is it able to be Makabal Truma, because of Chibas HaKodesh, Tosfos says, because what are you shaping it with? You're using an axe that belongs to Hekdesh, which is what you find in the Sefer Ne'ilim. You find cases involving an axe of Hekdesh, so apparently Hekdesh had axes, and those are considered for this purpose Klei Shoris, so once they use those to shape the wood, that's when it gets to
the wood. Is shaped from a stone? It doesn't become...
Well, in other words, apparently the idea would be if you just use a plain old axe to shape it, then Chibas HaKodesh wouldn't necessarily apply. Yeah. That seems to be what Tosfos is saying. It's an interesting thing, by the way, an interesting side Lomdisha thing, by the way, that Rabbi Yosef Engel says, what's the idea behind this concept of Chibas HaKodesh, that we should consider non-food items as if they were food, that we should consider Eitzim and Lavona as if they were food? He says an interesting idea. We know when it comes to tefillin, for example, it says about the Mamanti Yetzirat Hashem B'Sicha, and the halacha is that therefore everything that goes into tefillin has to be made out of kosher materials. The parchment has to be from a kosher animal, the straps, the batim, et cetera, et cetera. So, and you have a Mishnah in Megillah that mentions that if you put gold on the outside of the tefillin, then they're tachapasul. Why? Because gold is not Lamanti Yetzirat Hashem B'Sicha. It's not Minam Mutzi B'Sicha. Now, on the face of it, you could argue, why not? I mean, gold's not something you can eat, but it's not treif either. What would be the problem?
No.
The point is, yeah, that's fine. That Shulchan Hashem told them to. But No. It's not that you can. Not that you don't actually eat your tefillin, but in principle, they would be something you'd be allowed to eat. They all come from kosher animals. So therefore, and the Mishnah says that gold is out because not Lamanti Yeteres Hashem B'Pisa. So the question is, why not? Gold is not treif. But the answer is, because it's not edible, it can't be considered minam mutzu b'ficha. Minam mutzu b'ficha means something that's edible. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, same logic over here. Eitzim and Levina, they're not edible. The fact is, we learned earlier in the Masechta that Levina is not really edible.
You can grind it. We're eating it all the time.
Look, a person can also eat, a person can also eat wood. A person can also eat paper. A person can eat a 747, but it's not something that's
spicy.
Yeah. It's a type of spice, but it's got a very bitter taste. It's not something that a person normally eats. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's not something. So therefore, he says the verse is in order that all the korbanos have to be mashke yisrael from something that Jews are allowed to eat, as we've learned a number of times in our Masechta. Therefore, we have to have this concept of chibas hakodesh to make that now the wool and the levona are considered like something that can be eaten in order that they can be brought on the mizbeach.
You can't say gold, right?
No, the gold is different. You don't bring gold on the mizbeach. Gold, you gold, this is dumb, and you give it to Betekabat.
But gold was put on a lot of kelim from
yeah, fine, because Hashem told them to, fine. You have a medrash that says that gold was only created for the sake of the Beth Mikdash, but still, yeah.
The wood is part of the bank, part of the car bank. Make a barbecue, you tell you to put wood.
Okay, it could be. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, the point is, again, that it seems from the Mishnah that things, as long as they're tahor, you can't be part of them. So how can you be part of them? Menachas and Nesachim, when they're tahor. The answer is loy. No, that's not how you have to understand the Mishnah. You don't have to understand that the reason why Esim and Labona and Clay Shardis, once they're tahor, you can't be part of them. The reason might be different. La'olam emalach tahorin ba'alman yukin. Really, you could say that in general, things that are tahor, you are able to be parja, so you should be able, like Shmuel says, to be parja the menachas and the sachim, even though they're still tahor, as long as they're not in the kli sharis yet. The reason for the things in our Mishnah is different. V'hani mishum delei shchichihu. The reason why we would say that you can't be parja oifet, esim, levona, and kli sharis is because they're not so common. The problem is, in other words, not a din d'araisa, it would be a din d'rabbanan. If you're going to be allowed to be parja them when they're tahor, then people are going to be poured to them, and then the gizbarim, the treasurers of the Beth Mikdash, may not find other wood or other lavoino or whatever that's needed for the avodah. That's not necessarily so easy to find. So the question is, let's analyze that. Bishlem lavoino klei sharis klei shukhi. Okay, lavoino and klei sharis, it's true, are not so common. If a klei sharis, if you're allowed to be poured there, the Beth Mikdash might run short of klei sharis. Same thing with lavoino. Ela eitzim, nishkach shukhi. What do you mean? Wood is very common.
Sure.
The answer is eitzim. Yes, but no. Eitzim nami. No, even with wood. Since we learn in a Mishnah in Midas that any wood that has worms in it is possible to go on the Mizbeach, and most wood in those days at least had worms, so therefore it's not so common to find good wood that's kosher for the Mizbeach, and therefore also that Abonin would have made it Zera. Once these things become Tomei, fine, you have no choice, they're Tomei anyway. That's the thing. Even when they're Tomei, we're saying you don't want to be part of them. No, even when they're tameh, you don't want to be certainly when they're tahor, but even when they're tameh, we're saying ein lahem pidyon once they're tameh, because the concept of pidyon only applies to things that can have hamad of harah. When they're tahor, then in principle midaraisa you could be part of them. However, midarabon and the chachamim don't want you to, because then you may be a shortage of clay sharis or eitim or lavoina for the mizeh.
So what's it tameh? Is it tameh or not?
It's not tameh, but it's possible for the mizeh.
It's not tameh.
Like any other wood, regular wood, it's not tameh unless you make a case out of it, then it's a kabbal tumah. Why does
Jesus make it tameh?
It doesn't make it tameh, it makes it possible for the mizeach, it's like a balmul.
What?
Toiloyim, we've got worms in it. Worms. Yeah, bugs, worms. The problem is that now that wood is like a balmul, you can't offer it on the mizeach.
It's defective,
yeah. Well, therefore, you've got to be careful. That's why the state, among other things, you have that. Hold on. That's why we know they would stop cutting wood on Tuba on Chamisha of Tuba Av, because after that the Toshash Kocha Shokama, the power of the sun is not as strong, and therefore the wood may not dry out completely, and worms may develop in it. You have that we know that the Kohen and Balin Mumim, that was their regular job in the Beis Hamikdash, to go through the wood and check it for any worms. Yeah. That's the point.
Doesn't have
pesticides.
What?
Doesn't have pesticides. I got that. Yeah, true. Okay. Almond. Almond.
They could cover it with oil.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Almond. We learned earlier in the Masechta, by the way, that if a piece of wood is dry and then it develops worms, then fine, you can take out the part that was infested with worms and the rest of it is still kosher. But if it became moist and then it got infested with worms, and they have to throw out the whole piece. Almond. Continuing on this discussion, our Papa says, if Shmuel had known what it says in the following braisa, then he would have changed his mind. What does the braisa say? If somebody declares that an animal that's tamim, that's able to be brought as a korban, and he gives it kedusha lebedek habayis, he donates it to the fund for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, meaning that he's only giving it kedusha dayim, where normally, if it was any other thing, what we would do is, fine, Hekdish would take it, they would sell it, and they would use the money towards the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash, towards the repairs of the Beis Hamikdash. Hamakdish simim, makdish means he makes it grab on, he gives it a kedusha, but only lebedek habayis. So what do? Ein poydin oisken elo mizbeach. The only thing you can be poyde from bedek habayis is to bring it as a korban on the mizbeach. So you can't have, in other words, that a regular person can come to people are always donating things to Hekdesh, and Hekdesh is always selling things to people. You have, so to speak, like a garage sale going on all the time. Where they're raising money for the Beis Hamikdash, but when you have an animal that was a tamim that was designated for bedek habayis.
You can't.
And they can't just put it up. Anybody who wants to come, this animal can, who wants to come and buy this animal can buy it. Only if the person is buying it in order to bring it to the korban. Because any korban, any animal that was suitable to be brought on the mizbeach, can never go out of the possession of the mizbeach forever. Now, l'chorav, afa gavr kedushas damim ninu. Now, here we're talking about this animal only has kedushas damim. A niftin, and we're still saying you can't be paid there. Why hoyle tahorim him? Because the pashtus, because the animal is tahor. Again, it's a live animal; it can't be makabel truma. By definition, no live animal can be makabel truma. And it's still hello. It doesn't have a mum. So therefore, we're saying you can only be paid there to put it on the mizbeach. So Rav Papa says, if Shmuel knew of this braisa, have a hodjabe, he would have changed his mind. He would have said the same thing goes as far as a mincha or nesachim. You can only be poed to them if they became tame before they went into a klisharis, not afterwards, not while they're still tahar. Because you see, this animal is tahar, and yet you can't be poed to it unless you're going to put it on the mizbeach. However, the Gemara says v'loihi, that's not so. Shmuel knew good and well of this braisa, but nevertheless, that didn't cause him to change his mind. Why? Because he says like this, Lav amrit hosam kibin le shchiki le yifrati. We just said the answer that Shmuel can use to Rabbuna Bar Manoach's question from the later part of our Mishnah, that Shmuel can explain that the reason why you can't be tied to Asin and Lavoina and play Shari while they're still tahor is exeter de rabbanon, because such things are not so common and we don't want the Beis Hamikdash to have shortages. Well, and therefore loy mikrati, therefore you can't be part of them. Hachanami, well, the same thing applies to animals. Kivin neshchichi mumin depasli bebehema, because mumin that will pass on animal are very common, because after all, that's a little bit dukin shabayin nami pasli, even if you just have a cataract in the eye or split in the eyelid or whatever, that's enough to pass all the animals to carbon. So therefore animals that are tumin and suitable for carbonus are not very common, and therefore again, we're going
to
make the same zera zirabonon,
that
this way we don't run out of animals for korbanos, and therefore we're not going to allow somebody to buy it for any other purpose other than for a korban. But that doesn't prove that the menachas and nesachim of our Mishnah, that you shouldn't be, that flour for menachas and then wine for nesachim is not so rare that we should have to make a zera on it, that while they're tahor we shouldn't be able to be part of them.
And that's why he would change his mind.
So therefore, Shmuel wouldn't have had to change his mind as a result of this braisa. He would say that the behemoth of this braisa is the same as the Asim and Lavoina and Clay Shoreth of our Mishnah. They're all rare things. They were ones that are capable of being brought as carbonus are rare things, and therefore we make Zera in order to prevent shortages. Okay. So far, this is all according to Shmuel. Now, other opinions. Rav Kahana Amar Tmeim Nitzin Tahorin Ein Nitzin. Rav Kahana says no. Only if the Menachos and the Sachim became Tamei before they went into a Klisharis, only then can you be Poyed to them. As long as they're Tahor Ein Nitzin, then you can't be Poyed to them. Like Rav Huna Bama Noach followed you before. V'chein Amar Rav Oshia Tmeim Nitzin Tahorin Ein Nitzin, and the Rav Oshia said the same thing. Ikadamri, another version of the Machlokas is that Amar Rav Oshia for the Tahorin Nitzin. Another version of the Machlokas is that no, Rav Oshia said, like Shmuel, that even if they're Tahor, you can be part of them. Rav Elazar Omer, Kolan Tmein Nitzin, Tahorin and Nitzin. Rav Elazar says, a general rule is that anything, all Menachos or anything else, only if they're Tameh can be part of them, before they went into Klisharis, of course, Tahorin and Nitzin, but if they're Tahor, the Mincha, any Mincha, not just the Menachos in the Sakha, meaning any Mincha, basically, you can't be part of them, he says, as long as they're Tahor, Chus Me Asiris Ta'efa from Mincha Tchoyte. Rav Elazar says, with the exception of the Asiris Ta'efa, the Isarin of flour that a Choyte has to bring, that a person has to bring, if he's really, really poor, Dalei Dalos is called, where he has to bring a Korban Olav Yerid. Tumas Mephishah Kavshav, Shuas Bitui, etc. Those where we have a rich person brings an animal, and a medium poor person brings two birds, and a poor person brings an Isarin of flour without Tumas. You have Tumas Mephishah Kavshav, you have Shuas Bitui, and you have Shuas Eid. But those are the cases. No, it's not an Ashen Talus. No, those are the cases where if a person was over on one of them, some of them b'shogeg, some of them b'mezid, depending. We learned about this in short. Then they have to bring, depending on his wealth, he brings one or another type of status. Right. So if you have a choyte, if you have a person did one of these avedas when he was really poor, and he set aside and he started a flower for it, and later on he became rich, then he's allowed to sell that Asira Se'efa of flour, even though it's not Tomei, he's allowed to sell it and use the money towards the next level carbon that he would have to bring. And now he's a little bit richer, so now he's going to bring two birds, etc. Shari Om Raturim, Mei Chatose Al Chatose, because you have Psukim over there that mention that the person brings his carbon Mei Chatose, the Kippur HaLavakon Mei Chatose HaShachata, and you have another one that says Al Chatose HaShachata, and from those Psukim we learn, Rashi refers to a Gemara in Christus, that explains this, that from those Psukim we learn that it works both ways. The person was rich and set aside an animal for a carbon, and now he became poor, and now he's going to be bringing birds instead. He can sell the animal and use the money from that towards the birds. And similarly with from birds to a mincha, and then the other way around also, that from the mincha he can sell the mincha and use the money for birds. He can sell the birds and use the money for an animal. So only in that case do we have that. Only in that case do we have it. But otherwise not. Otherwise only if it became tamei can he be poyed, says Rav Elazar. Otherwise not. The halacha is like Rav Kahana and Rav Elazar, and according to the first version, Rav Oshia. So therefore, the halacha in the end is that you can only be poyed when we say in our Mishnah, Menachos Manasachim Shin Nitmu, we mean exactly that. Only if Nitmu can you be poyed to them. If not, then not. Okay. New discussion. Since we were talking before about what's able to be Makabel Tumah and not. So now let's talk about something involving Korbanos and Dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. Amar Rav Oshia, Shamaiti, I heard from my Rebbeim, Pigel B'mincha L'Rav Shimon Einim Atama Tumah Oslin. Suppose the Kohen made a Mincha Pigel. We learned earlier in the Masechta, during one or another of the four Avodas, he has in mind that he's going to eat it tomorrow, he's going to burn the Kohenus tomorrow, then the Kohen becomes Pigel, anybody who eats from it is high of Kohen. According to Rav Shimon, which we're going to talk on Omid Beis, well, at the beginning of it, we're going to start over here and continue on Omid Beis, that Rav Shimon holds that things that are also Bahana are not able to become Tomei, Tumas Eichlin, then according to Rav Shimon, Einim Atama Tumas Eichlin, that this Mincha that became Tivol would not be able to become Tomei as Tumas Eichlin.
Because he
says that anything that's also Bahana, and in this case, Pigel is also Bana, is not Matama Tumas Oichlin. He learns, as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, that Tumas Oichlin only applies to things that are able to be eaten, or at least that you're able to have Bana, that are Mutta Bana. This is also Bana, therefore he says Tumas Oichlin doesn't apply it. And we know this Dishnan. So like this, we learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa, but sometimes the Gemara quotes Braisa and says Dishnan on them. Ha'orlo v'kalaya kerem, Orlo, we know what that is, kalaya kerem, we know what that is, The shor on yiskol, a shor that gourds somebody and basically gives a skila, which is and Rashi stresses that we're talking about over here today, where after gemar din you shefted it. Because if they actually gave a skila, of course it's an avela. It's matame as an avela anyway. Never mind whether it's matame from a
chesed.
Because it's happened. The owner decided to preempt. The owner decided after gemar din, you know what? Why should I wait until they take? He's not allowed to. And actually, if he does, it's still also banah. That's a stopper. You stopper lasher v'layachol sara. Yeah, but nevertheless, the argument. Nevertheless, it's not an avela now. So therefore, the question is it matame chumas ochem? Would a kabesa that he must be matame other food? Okay, the egla arufa, and then you have the egla arufa, and again Rashi explains that we're talking about over here after you brought it down into the nachal eson, which at that point is when it becomes also, even before they actually knocked off its head. At that point, if they shrefted it, it's still already off the banner. Because if they knocked off its head, then already if they did arifa, then again it's already nevela and vice versa. Yeah. Okay. Because arifa is not shchita. Arifa involves whacking off its head with a cleaver or something. Shchita involves a back and forth motion.
Anything
that's not shchita is nevela. Exactly.
I guess actually buried what
happens. Yeah, you bury it after that. Yeah. So, okay, Tosfos also mentions another possibility based on a Gemara in Zvachim that maybe once you did the Arifa, nevertheless it doesn't have the din of Nevela anymore because since the Mitzvah is to do Arifa on it, and therefore, okay, whatever it is, anyway, so the Egla Arifa, it's the Puri Mitzvah. Another one is the birds of a Mitzvah. So you actually have two birds, which when we say Tipore, we mean actually only the one. You have one bird and then okay. Connection. You have one at the beginning of Parashat Mitzvah. You have the first stage of the Tara of a Mitzvah, where you have one bird is shechted, and the blood of it is put into a keli with water, and they get the Ezev, etc. into it, and the other one is sent away, to fly away. The first one that's shechted is Ostobana, and Upetachamur, the Petachamur, if you weren't heard it, if you might sit there about after, same thing. Ubostabacholov, all of those things, Kulam Matam and Chumas Oslin. The Tanakama of the Braita says, all of these things are able to be Matam and Chumas Oslin. They're able to become Tomei, as food becomes Tomei, and they're able to transmit Chumas to other things, that such thing. Even though they're also Bana, even though you would think they're not food, because they're also, wait. Reb Shimon Omer, Kulam Ein Matam and Chumas Oslin. Reb Shimon says, no, none of these things are Matam and Chumas Oslin, because they're also Bana. However, Reb Shimon agrees when it comes to Bosa B'cholav because it had a Shafa Kosher. It had a period of time when it was Mutar B'Hanah. So what does that mean? So what does that mean? So Rashi over here explains it means like this. The only time, when does Bosa B'Cholav become Osir, Midaraisa anyway, only if you cook them together. If you were to soak them together, it wouldn't actually be Osir B'Hanah. So therefore, we can say that even once the Bosa and Cholav were combined, nevertheless, they still are Shasa Kosher, because at least on a Daraisa level, it's still Mutar B'Hanah.
It wasn't cooked, exactly.
So Rashi in Sochim, because you have the sugya about this in Sochim, you have a long sugya at the beginning of the second paragraph of Sochim, so the yeshiva lights are learning it this year, in the Lubavitcher yeshiva, because this year is Sochim, and if they're not learning it now, they will be, whatever. But you have a whole sugya over there about Yisuri Achila and Yisuri Hana, which things are and aren't also Hana, and the various details of them. So Rashi mentions over there that, no, that can't be the correct explanation, because the fact is not considered Basa B'Cholav until they're cooked together. So therefore, Rashi rather explains that what it means is, Hoysa L'Shafa Kosher means that, and Rabbeinu Gershom over here explains similarly that it means, Pasha, the milk was once mutter, the meat was once mutter, when did they become also? Only when you cook them together. As opposed to, for example, all these other ones, the Shara Nisko, the Egla Rufa, etc., they were never mutter while they were alive, because you can't eat from them while they're alive, it would be Eidom and Achai, and once they're shechted, or whatever, it's too late, because the Shita itself is what happens then. So therefore, sort of Shimon says, again, that Basa B'Cholav, it had Shasa Kosher, according to either of these two explanations, therefore it can be Matamah Chomasachim. My time is
Rav Shimon.
That's an exception to the Jewish. So he's saying it's not really an exception. It's true. It's also b'hanah now, but there was a time when it was mutter, either when they were soaked together or before they ever touched each other. Therefore, even now, afterwards, after they were cooked together as basa b'chalav, nevertheless, that doesn't take away the ability of it to be mekamet from a chosin. In effect, it's similar to the way we have, you know, that you have food. Food is able to be metamet from asarichon, and then it only becomes bottle from being food when it's not roi lachel afkel. So this is a similar concept over here. The fact that it became osa b'hana doesn't change the fact that it still is something physically edible, and therefore, yeah. Okay. The omer of asi omer of yechon, and my time is Reb Shimon. So what's Reb Shimon's reason that he says that anything that's osa b'hana is not metamet from asarichon? Because he says, when you have the positive in Parashat Shmini that talks about Tumas Erchon, it says, Mikola Oichol Asher Ye'ochol, from any food that can be eaten. So he learns from that, Oichol Sha'at Yochol Ha'achila La'acherim Kari Oichol. What is considered food as far as the beginning of Tumas Erchon? Only food that you're able to feed to somebody else. So for example, okay, it could be Tereish, but it could be, for example, you could feed it to Goyim. Like Nevela, for example. But, no, it is. Oichol she'en one other, nevela is going to eat.
Going,
but... Yeah, that's what we're talking about. But that's the lachim lachim, you can feed it to others. Oichol she'iyati yochol lachim lachim. Oichol she'iyati yochol lachim lachim, but food that you're not allowed to feed to anybody else, it's also b'hana. You can't take bosu b'cholov and give it to a goy. You can't take shor anistol and give it to a goy. You can't take orla and or give it to a goy or to an animal or whatever. It's also b'hana. So therefore, so he says, eine kari oichol, so that's not called food. Okay, so now the question is
for you.
Therefore it's not considered food as far as Tumas Erchon, Rav Shimon says. Okay, so now again, we started out that Rav Oshia says that according to Rav Shimon, Pigul is not Mitamet Tumas Erchon. Therefore, he says, Vaha Pigul of Mincha Nami. So now let's consider, in our case over here, Pigul of Mincha, also Oichol Shiyat Yachol Acheru, because Pigul is also Bahana. Yeah. So therefore, that's why Rav Shimon would say that doesn't have too much earthly. That if it itself can't become Tomei, and if it previously became Tomei and then touched something else, then it wouldn't be Matash. That's the thing. Doesn't receive Tumah and doesn't pass on Tumah. The whole concept of Tumah Erchon doesn't apply to it, says Rav Shimon.
Because it's not an Erchon.
Right. Yeah, because according to Rav Shimon's definition, it's not an oichol, because according to him, the definition of oichol is that's mutter b'hana. Okay. So the question is, yehachi basa b'chol of nami, typically, the oichol shaf yachol achil achayim hu. In that case, why does Rav Shimon have to say that the only reason by basa b'chol of that he agrees that it has too much oichol is because it has shafa kosher? He has a better reason. Let him say, rather, that the reason is because the oichol shati yachol lachil lachayim hu. Because according to Rav Shimon, basa b'cholov is actually mutter b'hana. Now, we know it's not like that. We always learn there from kids that it's also b'hana, but that's according to the Chachamim. Rav Shimon actually holds, and we see it briefly over here. We'll learn in more detail in Cholin, and when we get to basa b'cholov in Cholin in a few months, says the Shem. According to him, it's mutter b'hana. The Tanya, as we learn in a Brayta, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Shimon, Basa B'cholov also Ba'achilo Mutar B'Hana. He says that Basa B'cholov you're not allowed to eat, but you are allowed to have Hana from it. Shenema, yeah, you're allowed to sell it, for example, or feed it to a dog or whatever. And why is that? Shenema, because like this, the Pasuk says by Basa B'cholov, Ki Am Kodesh Atal Hashem Lekecha, you're a holy nation to Hashem. Therefore, like the Vash of Ziba Halevimah, therefore you're not allowed to cook and eat Basa B'cholov. Then you have another pasuk that also mentioned another pasuk as far as the dinim of kashrus that also midaraita that's only if it's cooked. Like the vashel diva halevimay, we learn from that only if it's cooked. Right. Then you have a different pasuk that also mentions a din of kashrus that's related to being an am kodesh. The pasuk says v'anshe kodesh tiyumli, you should be a holy people to me. You're not allowed to eat meat that's trefa, meat from an animal that was injured or sick or whatever. That's in a way, as we'll learn in Cholin in a couple of months about all the dinim of trefa. So therefore we have a comparison. Zeh shavah or hekesh, whatever. So therefore, malahalam also ba'achilo mutar b'hanah, just like when it comes to tshreifa, you're not allowed to eat it, but it is mutar b'hanah, because that's vakela tashlichon oisai. That's hanah. You can give it to a dog that you own, for example. Okay, so that's actually something that we're going to discuss, is that I think there's going to be something about it in Poland. You're not allowed to make a regular business of selling things that are off the cheap. However, if a person has something that's mutar b'hanah, and he has ba'kray ba'alma, he has it, so happened, and he has something that's also b'hanah, that's also ba'achila, but mutar b'hanah, then yes, he's allowed to sell it.
A one-time thing.
No, a one-time thing, not to make a regular business of it, right. Okay. No, you could, if you have. Again, again, tshreifa, you have a particular animal that became tshreifa, yeah, like kelo tashlik or noise. So therefore...
Some things you can't have enough from, but...
Okay, tshreifa you're allowed to have enough from. You're not allowed to make a business. A dog or also, that's a different matter, but that's yeah. Okay, so he says the same thing. Afkan, the same thing, bosu b'cholom, also b'achilu, and also b'hanah. So therefore, so according to Reb Shimon, bosu b'cholom is mutar b'hanah because of the comparison to tshreifa. So why does Reb Shimon need to say the reason why I say bosu b'cholom can have too much oichlin is because it had shrasa kosher. According to him, it's not also b'hanah anyway. All these things that are also b'hanah according to him are not oichlin. Bosu b'cholom is mutar b'hanah, so it should be considered oichlin. The answer is you're right. The Gemara says chodav oichlin. Reb Shimon is actually giving us two reasons to say that bosu b'cholom should be able to be mechabel to. Yes. Number one, it's food that you're allowed to feed to others, you're allowed to give to goyim, or you're allowed to give to animals, and therefore that's reason enough for it to be mechabel tumah. But oy, and besides that, even relative to the yid himself, even when you consider regarding the yid himself, this basa and this kol of one time had a shata kosher. All the other ones did not. Shata kosher means there was a time when it was mutar to eat. There was a time when it was mutar to eat. As opposed to, again, Shkara Nistel, for example, there was never a time it was mutar to eat.
So let's clarify.
Forget that. Cholavakim is Jirabam, anyway. Yeah.
Let's clarify. Do you need both conditions according to
him? No. He's just saying, no.
One or the other.
I mean, yeah. As long as...
So
yeah.
If you have shata kosher without having anah, mutar b'anah, it could still work?
Well, that's actually what we're going to discuss in a little bit in the Gemara over here, but let's see. Let's see if we can find such a case, and then we'll see what Rav Shimon would say about it. Okay, so the Gemara says Mesi. Okay, so far, again, we have Rav Oshia saying that Rav Shimon will say that a mincha, the pigul, is also b'hanah. It's not something that you can give to somebody else to eat. Yata yachal achil lachim, because it's also b'hanah. Therefore, it's not makabel tumah. But Mesi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. Because another Braita says, Rav Shimon Omer, yesh noiser shu matama tumas oichlin, v'yesh noiser shein matama tumas oichlin. When it comes to noiser, which is also similar in a certain sense to pigul, because noiser is also asabana. And there's some noiser that's matama tumas oichlin, and some that is not. Kesad, what would be the cases? Lon lifnei zrika, if it was left overnight before the zrika, so then it had no shasa kosher, ain't a matama tumas oichlin, then it's not matama tumas oichlin because there was no shasa kosher. La'acha zrika, but if it was left over, you did the zrika of the blood of the korban properly, and then you left over a piece of meat of it, so it had a shasa kosher, matama tumas oichlin. And he continues, upigul, bain b'kodshin kodshin, bain b'kodshin kalim, ain't a matama tumas oichlin. Now, when it comes to animals for korbanos, whether kodshin kodshin or kodshin kalim, then they're not matama tumas oichlin, but he continues, pigul b'mincha matama tumas oichlin. But if you did pigul with a mincha, it is matama tumas oichlin. So exactly the opposite of what Rav Oshia said. Rav Oshia said that he'll say that pigul b'mincha, it's not matama tumas oichlin on the grounds that it's iyata yachal lachil lachirim, but we see Rav Shimon is making other distinctions. He's making a distinction in the case of noiser, whether it had shasa kosher or not. In the case of pigul, he's making a distinction between animal korbanos versus menachos, but nothing like what Rav Oshia says.
So it's not necessarily on our
side. So that's what we have to figure out, yeah.
So what is it?
Well, that's what we have to figure out. So the answer is loy kasha kansha. So the answer is even with the mincha, Reb Shimon doesn't mean that pigul b'mincha is always matamet shomas eichlin. Kansha hoisel la shata kosher. Kansha la hoisel la shata kosher. It'll depend whether it had a shata kosher or not. Now, the question is heichid zamed la hoisel la shata kosher. Okay, what's an example you're going to find with a mincha where it never had a shata kosher? L'chura, I mean, when do you make it a pigul? When do you make it a pigul? Was with one of the four avodas. That means it was brought to the Bet Mikdash, it was still kosher for a mincha. At that point, it had a shata kosher. So what do you mean that it never had a shata kosher? you're going to argue that the shinui b'mechubar. You're going to argue that the case is that you're going to argue that the case is that you that you were makdish the wheat while it was still growing in the ground. Well, then the question is v'lifrakinu. In that case, so what's the problem? It was before they went into a kli shoreis. You should be able to be paid to them. Now we see l'frakinu means you should be paid to them. You should free them literally. Yes. So okay. So now we see the relevance of this to the discussion that we had before, because we had two different versions of what Rav Oshi said we had before. We had one version that Rav Oshi said that menachos, you can be poda only when they became tamei, and we had a second version that said that he agreed with Shmuel that you can be poda them even when they were tamei. So, Hanicha l'haf lishna d'amr Rav Oshi yitzmei and niftin tahorin and niftin. So according to the Lashon that Rav Oshi said that he argues on the first lashon that we said that he argues on Shmuel, and he says menachos can be nifka only when they're tamei, not when they're tahor. Shaker. Okay, then that works out. So in other words, the case could be: what do you mean a mincha that had no shaker kosher means that you were makdish it as a mincha while it was still growing, so therefore it never had a shaker kosher for zorim to be able to eat it, because it's a mincha, it's eventually going to be eaten only by the kohenim.
Right, so it's still growing, meaning what?
Well, that's exactly what I mean. While the stalks of wheat are still growing. Then, so you were makdish it at that point. Now, let's say, so it never became tamei, then you ended up preparing flour from it, and you brought it as a mincha, and then the kohen was mafagalit, one of the four avodas. That would be a case where it never had shaka kosher, and then we would say that Rav Shimon would say it's not mitame tumasecha. Whereas the normal case, when you brought a regularly stored in a flour, and you were makdish it, where then it had a shaka kosher, because previously it was able to be eaten by zorim, or by tmeim, or whatever, and now not, then we would say that that's still mitame tumasecha, because it would be in that sense like boss of the hollow, that had shaka kosher. What do you mean? It's still growing. It's stalks of wheat, of course it is. Yeah, of course. What else would you call it? Yeah. Wheat means the plants. That is the plants. Grow. Yeah. That's what we're arguing. But according to the second version of what Rav Oshi said, here we're all talking within Rav Oshi. If we're saying, according to the second Lashon, the second version of what Rav Oshi said, is that even if they're Tahor, you're able to be paid to them, Lifrakinu. So what's the problem? What do you mean they didn't have a Shaka Kosher? You would have been able to be paid to them any time from when the wheat was growing until you actually put it in a Klishari. So therefore, why should you say it doesn't have a Shaka Kosher?
Irrelevant.
Yeah, the answer is Hashtamiya, like Parak. Okay, but the fact of the matter is he wasn't paid to it. If it's true, he could, according to that second Lashon, he could have been paid to it, even though it was Tahor. But the fact is he didn't, and therefore the fact is this wheat, from when it grew until it was brought to the Azara and it was made pickle, never had a shaka kosher. There was never a time when it was mutter to Zorim to eat.
Because they didn't
pay it. Because in the end they weren't paid it. So therefore, so it's true in principle they could, according to Rav Oshia's second Lashon, but nevertheless the fact is they didn't. So therefore we can still go with what Rav Oshia was saying, that Rav Shimon will say, if it had a shaka kosher, then it's metame tumas oichlin, even though now it's also b'hana. So therefore, that would work with pigle. Regular pigle had a shaka kosher, therefore it's metame tumas oichlin. This special case, where you were makdish it while it was growing as wheat, it never had a shaka kosher, therefore, that's what Rav Oshi is saying. According to Rav Shimon, therefore, it never had shaka kosher, and it is also b'hana, therefore, it's not the time of Tumas Eichlin. So that answers your question from before, by the way, that we're saying, Rav Oshi is saying, even if it's now also b'hana, as long as it had a shaka kosher, it is the time of Tumas Eichlin. And vice versa, I mean, if it's multi b'hana, then there's nothing to talk about, obviously, it's the time of Tumas Eichlin.
But it needs shaka kosher.
Yes.
The criteria.
Yes. The problem with that is, according to that second Lashon of Rav Oshia, that yes, he could have been poded, but the fact that he didn't means it never had shaka kosher. The problem is, the fact is, given that he could have been poded, Shamin and Leilat of Shimon, now we know, we find elsewhere that Rav Shimon says, we find in other places that Rav Shimon says that something that is able to be nifter is considered as if it was nifter already. So according to him, if Rav Oshia is explaining to us the point of Shimon, we should say that even though you weren't actually koyde, you could have, therefore it should be considered that it had a shaka kosher, therefore it should be metamet from a
seichon. So that doesn't seem to work.
So wait. And where do we see Rav Shimon saying that? The Tanya, as we learn in a place, Rav Shimon Omer, para metame tumas oichlin, the para adjuma is able to be metame tumas oichlin, In other words, it's also bahana, because it's meant that you shecht it and then you burn it and then use the ashes of it for the parah adumah. But Rav Shimon says it's a tamid shemasochin hoyo v'hoysel a shata kosher, because it had a shata kosher. And what shata kosher do we mean? V'omer eshlokish oimer hoyer Rav Shimon, that Rav Shimon used to say, what it means is parah nitzkes agav ma'arasa. It means even after the parah was shechted, even after it was shechted on its ma'aracha, on the special pile of wood on harazetim that was set up for it. So even after it was shechted, nevertheless, you could still be poided at that point, even though it was already shechted. Now, korbanis, you wouldn't be able to do that because you don't have hamad of ma'aracha. But here it's only called shebedek habayis, so Rav Shimon says it doesn't have the same level of
shechted.
Why should he say only by the parah adumah? Well, that's the Gemara is going to answer something similar. But wait, on the face of it, if he says that by parah adumah, then so in other words, what is Rav Shimon saying? The fact is, you weren't poured to the parah adumah. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon says the meat of it is still able to become to metabolize trauma and to transmit trauma like any other meat, because you could have been poured it. Well, but therefore it has shaka kosher. The same logic over here. We should say, yes, you were never poured to this meat, but you could have been poured it. Therefore, it should be considered that it had a shaka kosher, and it should have trauma certain. Why is Rav Oshia saying not? Doesn't matter. Kol ha'omer lifteis kapodim. The same way as it was never poured in parah adumah, but nevertheless, and therefore now you were never poured it. The fact is, this parah adumah is about to be burnt, and nevertheless, as long as you didn't burn it, the meat of it is still considered to be oishlin and can be metamet from a seichel, according to Rav Shimon.
It has to be potential.
Okay. So the answer is the Gemara says hachi hashda. How are you thinking to compare these two cases? Ishlam a parah a medes lifteis. When it comes to the parah, you can understand. There's a logical reason to say that Rav Shimon should say that even though it wasn't nifteh, it's considered as if it was, because effectively, at all times, it is ready to be nifteh, because because suppose you find a nicer parah adumah, then yes, it's a mitzvah. It would be a mitzvah then to be poured to the first one and use the second one instead.
I'm excited. Very hard to find one.
Yeah. So in that case, yeah. Ela hani menachas mitzvah l'stoy son. But when it comes to the menachas, is there a mitzvah to be poured to them? Now, by the way, I mean, Mephoshim point out on the face of it, you could argue that yes, if you find better wheat for the mincha. But one answer is, since we learned before that anyway, the wheat for the mincha has to be the highest quality. So therefore, you're not really going to find better wheat anyway. So therefore, Rav Shimon can argue that when it comes to the parah adumah, even though you weren't poured there, it's considered as if you were, and therefore it has a shata kosher. But with wheat from menachas, he's not going to say that. Therefore, we can say that unless you were actually poured there, it didn't have a shata kosher, and therefore what Rav Oshia says still works. Because again, because a mincha is not something that normally you're going to be poured there. You don't usually expect to find a better mincha and then be poured to this one. Whereas you do expect to find a better parah adumah, and then you should be poured to this one. Okay, so fine. So fine. So we can accept that. By the way, an interesting thing to mention in this connection, we're coming up to Hanukkah soon, so an interesting discussion among Achronim that relates to this Gemara having to do with Hanukkah. They asked the Shavuot Yaakov a question like this. Suppose a person usually lights their menorah with olive oil, which is mitzvah min amukta. Instead, it happened he didn't have any olive oil, so he set up candles instead. Then, before he had a chance to light them, they brought him olive oil. What should he do? Should he take down the candles and use the olive oil, or should he stick with what he has?
Before he started lighting.
So the Shavuot Yaakov says that he should stick with the candles that he has. Once he already set them up, then he should just leave them. So they brought the question to Rav Yaakov Emdin, either Rav Yaakov Emdin or Hakam Tzvi, I can't remember, I think it was Rav Yaakov Emdin. Anyway, and he said, definitely not, based among other things on Or Gemara, but you see, you have a better parah adumah, you set aside the first one, and he goes a whole long arichus over there, slogging up everything the Shavuot Yaakov said. So then the Shavuot Yaakov has another trouble where they brought it back to him, what do you have to answer? So he says, look, I don't disagree with Rav Yaakov Emdin that if you want to be machmer on yourself and take down the candles and use the oil, give them to, hey, I'm just saying you're not required to. So therefore, okay, Rav Yaakov Emdin is arguing you're required to do mitzvah and amulcha and therefore take down the wax candles and use oil instead. So the Or Gemara, for example, is not a proof for that. You're allowed to. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to.
Did Rebbe say anything about that?
I don't know. I have not. The Rebbe was, in general, didn't pass in halacha. They usually refer questions in halacha to Rabbanim. So, yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, now, so the question is like, the halon lifnei drishka, the mitzvah of mizrach, okay, how about though? We said that Rav Shimon made a distinction within noiser, that sometimes it'll be metame chumas ochel and sometimes not, depending whether the drishka had already happened before it was left overnight. So let's consider the case, the halon lifnei drishka, the mitzvah of mizrach, the fact is you have a mitzvah to sprinkle the blood, so it's similar to the part of adruma in the sense that you have a mitzvah to redeem it if necessary. The Eid boy Zorak, and the fact is the Kohen could have been Zorak it, because Tony the aim of Tamar Chumas Oichlin, and yet we're saying that Noiser, which you didn't actually sprinkle the blood of yet, is not Tamar Chumas Oichlin, meaning because it didn't have a Shasa Kosher. So why not? Why shouldn't it be considered to have had a Shasa Kosher because you could have sprinkled the blood? The answer is, Maya Skinnan, Shaloi Hosa Shos Bayom Lemizrake. The answer is that case in the Braise is talking about that you didn't have time enough in the day to sprinkle it. Therefore, in other words, it was done very late in the day, and therefore you have to have no chance. If it was brought earlier in the day and you could have sprinkled it, then yeah, it would have Shasa Kosher. But if not, then not. Okay, so the question is, Avol Hosla shows for your mind Tamar Chumas Oichlin. Then in that case, are you implying that if it was brought earlier in the day and there would have been time to sprinkle the blood, then we should say it is Tamar Chumas Oichlin because we consider as if the blood was sprinkled? Then in that case, Abitoni Lon La'achazukim Tamar Chumas Oichlin, then why is the Braisa mentioning a distinction between whether the lina, which made it noiser, took place before or after zrika, lifts like the didah. Let's make a distinction within before zrika itself. Which is, instead of bringing in a different case where you did the zrika, mention that there's a difference whether you could have had time. When are we saying it's not matama tumas oichlin if there was no time during the day, so therefore it never had shapa kosher? Aval hoysel shows for yoim matama tumas oichlin. The fact that he doesn't make that distinction seems to mean that it doesn't matter. Either way, the fact is he didn't sprinkle the blood, so therefore that would mean he doesn't hold that anything that kola omid lichdos or kola omid luzrik or whatever. The answer is hochi nami ka'amalon. No, actually, that is what Rav Shimon is trying to tell us with the wording in the Braise. Kodim shiyir, no, hochi nami ka'amalon. He's saying like this. Lon kodim shiyir roi lezrika. He doesn't mean if it was lon before or after zrika. He means if it was lon kodim shiyir roi lezrika, before it was suitable to have the blood sprinkled. In other words, it was brought very late in the day, and therefore there was no time to do the sprinkling before the lina happened and became possible. Then, any matamah, tumas oichlin, because then that's the question. L'acha shiyir roi lezrika. But we don't mean if it was lon after the actual zrika. We mean if it was lon after there was time for the zrika. Then matama tumas oichlin. Then it is matama tumas oichlin because it had shasa kosher. Because again, even though you didn't actually sprinkle the blood and therefore it wasn't yet actually ready to eat yet, you had the time to do it and therefore it's considered that it has shasa kosher. So just as we're saying that you could have been poured to the part of Adruma and then so forth. Yeah. So that explains that there. So we don't have a contradiction from that part about noiser because lon lifnei zrika and lon la'achar zrika doesn't mean that it actually physically happened before or after the zrika. It means there was no time to do the zrika versus there was time to do the zrika. Okay, and we'll continue the discussion tomorrow.
Don't.
Well, the Chum disagree with this whole concept. The Chum say that any food is a sandwich from a soul from anyway, regardless whether it's muscle or chata kosher or not chata kosher. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.